Thank you very much. I first would like to thank the organizers. So I have to confess that I am part of the organizing committee, but in fact, Marco did everything. But I also want to thank the Fields Institute to organize this thematic semester. As you know, I will be spending 3 months, April, May, and June here. So I'd better be very good with them from now on. So thank you very much for putting up this program. And I also have an announcement. So this is, we have been organizing this summer school. So this is the third edition of the summer school. So please send over your students, your postdocs, to apply for this summer school. And the young faces which are here, please apply to this summer school. It will be the third edition, and this the lectures will be about asymptotic methods in finance by Jean-Pierre Fouque, Roger Lee, and Rian Pham. There is a website, so if you Google, you will find a website. Okay. Now back to my talk. I have been talking for a long time on second-order BSDEs, and this is a project which has been going on for a long time now. So I want to present you the motivation for it. There are different motivations in finance, in numerical methods. Then introduce a quick review to backward SDEs and tell you what results we have about this extension to the second order. Okay, so first motivation is a problem that I started working on with Mete Sonor back in 97. It was in Oberwolfach. We started this project. The problem of hedging under gamma constraint. So, as Dima would say, this is a financial engineering problem. So there is no equilibrium in there. We just start from the Black-Scholes model, and we ask the question, let's imitate what traders do. So traders take their portfolio, that I call Z here, just to stick to the backward of the Z notations. So portfolio is Z, wealth process is Y, and traders typically care about the derivative of the portfolio, which is the second derivative of the Black-Scholes formula. So the derivative of the portfolio, if you apply Ito's lemma, if you apply Ito's formula, then the derivative of the portfolio would be the diffusion term of the Z. So this is the reason why I introduce gamma, which is commonly called like this in the industry, gamma as the covariation between the portfolio and the underlying stock process. And in this simple problem, we just formulate exactly the same problem as Black-Scholes, find the minimal initial capital so that you can hedge a claim given by payoff C with probability 1, but we add this constraint that gamma must be in between two bounds, which it seems that this is the type of constraints that traders have from their risk management or from the chief of the trading floor. They are not allowed to overpass some gamma, because the interpretation of this is if the prices suddenly move from S to S plus delta S, if there's a sudden move, then the gamma would indicate how much stocks you have to buy immediately or sell immediately in the market. And depending on the nature of the stock, they know what is the shape of the order book, and they know how much stocks you can buy or sell at a certain time without impacting a lot the order book. So they are very careful about this. So this is the problem we started to work on, and we had some the characterization of this problem, but unfortunately the optimal hedge is not known. So this is the more difficult problem, is instead of solving this just with an inf, care about the mean. So to care about the mean, this is the hedging problem. Hedging problem, you have to find now portfolio Z in some class. I'm not being precise here. In some class, curly Z, and some minimal non-decreasing process K, so that you can do this. You can do this hedge. That's the first problem. And we have been working on this problem for a long time. Patrick Kaid also is here, has been also involved in many issues concerning this problem. So I will talk more about this later. Now the second problem, again from finance, and again of financial mathematics, financial engineering. There is no equilibrium here again. So we again want to do a little variation around Black-Scholes. So suppose you have, this would be the Black-Scholes price, ST, and then we want this S to build an supply function or an order book around this price ST. So we take this function, exogenous function, curly S, which will be applied to ST and the variable nu, which indicates the volume. So the price that you pay for a purchase of new risky assets per share would be curly S at ST and nu. So this is the model which was suggested in Umut Chetin thesis, and there are two papers by Chetin, Jarrow, Proter, one in finance and stochastics and the other one, I believe, in review financial studies, and where they also estimate a parametric family of curly S functions on data. So in this model, if you take, of course, if you take S independent of nu, then you will find the Black-Scholes model, and you have many variations. You can think of proportional transaction costs. In this model, proportional transaction costs would S curly S would be discontinuous, depending on the sign of nu. But precisely in Chetin-Jarrow-Proter model, they want to take a smooth S. So I have just written here what we get out of this model. If you just write the self-financing condition, so this is really immediate algebra, if you do some immediate algebra, this is what you get in discrete time. In discrete time, you get that the portfolio value is given by the classical expression. This is the stochastic integral with respect to prices. This is what we had in the previous slide. Minus some liquidity cost. This is the liquidity cost. And the liquidity cost, as you see, is expressed as delta Z, so this is variation of portfolio, multiplied by the variation of curly S. So STI is the same on both sides, but on this side you have delta Z, and this side you have zero. So from here you see that if you send the time space to zero, what happens if, and if curly S is smooth, then by just first order expansion here, what you would get, you would collect the first derivative of S with respect to the volume variable times delta Z multiplied by delta Z, then you see the quadratic variation popping up. So exactly as in the slide, as in the previous slide, so this model is of the same nature than in the previous slide. We have wealth process, which is the old version, the classical version, the Black-Scholes version, minus some cost, which is related to the gamma of the portfolio and to the slope of the supply function on the order book. You just look at the slope at the origin. And then there are jump terms, but okay, I will not talk about this part here. And you just formulate exactly the same problem as before. So with this formulation, find the minimal initial capital so that you can hedge with probability 1 some admissible, some claim Xi by means of some admissible portfolio strategy. So we are always in the same kind of problems, super hedging, but the difference in these problems is that the quadratic variation of the portfolio appears in these problems. And again, we can either talk about this problem INF, which is essentially the problem that we have been solving with Umut Chetin, or you can talk about the stronger version of this problem, which would be find an optimal hedge. In that case, we would like to find a Z, and maybe we will not perfectly hedge. Maybe there will be a super hedge. This is the increasing process K. So we want to find a Z and some minimal increasing process K so that we have this hedge with equality. So these are two problems we have been working on and which motivate the extension that I will tell you afterwards. The main difficulty with these problems, in both problems, in the first problem, I forgot to say that we assume that the bounds on gamma contain zero. So gamma lower bar is negative, gamma upper bar is positive. So doing nothing is okay. You can buy and hold in this problem. In the Sachin-Jarrow-Prater model, again, if you do nothing, then gamma equals zero. Or if you do, if you have a strategy which is absolutely continuous with respect to the Lebesgue, then there will be no gamma, there is no penalty. The penalty only comes from the diffusion of the strategy. So the main difficulty when you start looking at this problem is this nice result from Peter Bank and Bohm in a paper in Math Finance 2004, which says that if you take any stochastic integral, which is basically what you want to do in these problems, we want to approximate, we want to apply the Martingale representation theorem if there was no gamma problem. In black holes, we want to create a stochastic integral which is equal to xi. This result says that in L infinity norm, you can approximate any stochastic integral by a similar stochastic integral, but with an integrand which is absolutely continuous with respect to the Lebesgue. So basically, if you are ready to pay epsilon more for any epsilon positive, then you can get around the gamma. In here, there's no gamma. Phi epsilon has no gamma. Gamma equals zero for phi epsilon. Which means that in all of these problems, this one, and also the problem with gamma constraint, this is an inf, so you can always take it plus epsilon. By sacrificing epsilon, you can take an approximated strategy where this cost is completely eliminated. This was the result, basically, in the paper of Sachin-Jarrow-Prater in 2004 in Finance Stochastics, where they showed that the solution of the problem, the hedging problem, is just black holes. But in a recent paper, so basically we wrote this paper with Omochetin, and then there is this paper which in my story should be before. So this is a recent paper by Mete Soner and his student Selim Gökay, where they look at the same problem but on the binomial tree. So take Sachin-Jarrow-Prater model on the binomial tree, solve this super-hedging problem, and take the binomial tree with time step delta t, and then send delta t to zero. And try to see what happens. So you see here what is going on is the following. What is going on is that we start from a model motivated by discrete time. And Sachin-Jarrow-Prater model take immediately the limit of the model. They get the continuous time version of the model. And because of this result of Bank and Bohm, if you optimize or you hedge, you solve the hedging problem, you find, if you optimize, you find the value function of the Black-Scholes model, the same. So liquidity cost disappears in continuous time. What Mete and Selim did is optimize on the discrete time model, then get some function Vn, and then send delta t to zero here, and then they get a limit V infinity, which is different from V vectors. Which means that something is going on, which means that if you just take the limit of these strategies, then in continuous time there is something weird which happens. We know that these type of things happen, for example, even in the classical black holes. If you start from discrete time, finite discrete time, the set of admissible strategies, there is no constraints. You just take F-adapted strategies. You don't have to put any constraints. But when you go to continuous time, we have to put a lower bound to avoid problems with local martingales. So we know that by going to the continuous time, we have to be careful about that. Anyway, they find the limiting PDE is this one, which characterizes the path, which is precisely the PDE that we obtained by putting some constraints directly on the continuous time model. So let me now go to another motivation. Another type of motivation is from probabilistic numerical methods. As you see, we had the nonlinear PDE, so this is a general nonlinear PDE, and I first say here isolate a diffusion part in the equation, in the sense that this 1/2 of 1, I could replace it by 1/2 of anything and just compensate for it in the F, since there is D2V here. So I'm making a choice here. I'm just splitting my equation. I have a nonlinear PDE, and I decide to isolate a Laplacian there. I could isolate something else, but just for this presentation, let's do it with 1, because 1 corresponds to the Brownian motion, and then my choice of 1 here means that I'm choosing some underlying process, which is the Brownian motion. So I have this Brownian motion with diffusion 1, and then I have this PDE, I evaluated along the trajectory of this Brownian motion, and then I integrate between t minus h and t, okay, then still equal to 0, I take expected value still equal to 0, and once I take the expected value, I can add the gradient term, the missing term for the Itô's formula, and forgetting about problems with local martingales, you see that I can integrate now this equation and get 0 equals v of t minus h and x minus expected value of the value function v at later time t, so this is t minus h, this is t, plus this integral which contains the nonlinearity. So you make a choice of a diffusion, then this determines some underlying process, and this is a degree of freedom. Once you do this, the idea is, can we use this as a numerical scheme? So this is a way to get v at time t minus h out of v at time t. But we have a problem, we have this continuous thing here, but this is not very problematic because this is just a ds integral. So the natural thing to do is to approximate this integral by the time, by the size of, by h times the nonlinearity f. And here there is this expected value, f is nonlinear, so where to put the expected value? I could put the expected value outside of f, but I make the choice here to put the expected value inside. I make the choice to put the expected value inside, and of course, if one wants to explain the scheme, putting it inside or outside, it shouldn't matter, because in the limit, this is going to be degenerate. But if you put it inside, then you can really cook up a scheme from this iteration, because the first thing you have to do is to get rid of the gradient and the Hessian here. Because you don't want a scheme which requires the value function at a later time and its gradient and its Hessian, because this is non-ending process. So we want to get rid of the dv and the d2v, and once you put the expected value inside, then what you can do, you can use the fact that xt has a density and integrate by parts to get rid of the gradient and the Hessian. And this is exactly what you can do. So if you take expected value of f prime of x plus wh, this is our process x, to approximate for small h, this approximates f prime, then there is a density for this, which is the Gaussian density, and you can move from f prime to f just by integrating by parts. You can also move from f double prime to f by integrating by parts one more time. So by doing this, you can get rid, in the previous slide, you can get rid of dv and d2v, and you end up with this type of scheme. This is the type of scheme that you end up with. So in here, this is a backward scheme. You start from the very latest time with your final data for the PDE, and then you go backward in time, computing conditional expectations, and you have to compute this y, z, and gamma by doing this conditional expectations. In the Markov case, this would be regression. Okay, well, these type of schemes have been studied in many papers, and basically the idea comes from American options, because in American options, this is the numerical complexity comes from the fact that you have to compute conditional expectations, and there's a long experience in American options for that. So just apply the same trick, but for this kind of scheme. So the references here is when there is no nonlinearity in the second derivative. This has been done by Badi Pages, by Bruno and myself, by Jin Fan Zhang in his thesis and a paper in analysis of finite probability. And we recently, with my students Arash Rahim and Xavier Barin, we recently showed the convergence of this scheme. But the result which is shown in this paper is that if you look at the initial point, y0, n, then this converges to the solution, to the viscosity solution of the fully nonlinear PDE. But we say nothing about the convergence of the process. What is interesting is if you do this numerical iteration on Monte Carlo simulations, then by doing this iteration, well, you are producing some values at every point in time. You are producing some values everywhere, and the question is, what are we building? What are we building? Well, we know that in the case, in the semi-linear case, so when there is no dependence on the second derivative in the generator, then we know that this converges to the solution of a standard BSDE. So, and this is the BSDE. So, for those who are not familiar with this literature, so BSDE, we have a stochastic differential equation where the final condition is set to some random variable. So I will do a quick review later on. And in the fully nonlinear case, what we expect a similar type of behavior, but now we expect that the generator would contain another component, which is gamma, the gamma from financial engineering, and this gamma would be just the covariation of Z and W. So can we make sense of this, out of this? This would be second order BSDEs. Okay, so I promised a quick review. Before starting two BSDEs, let me just remember for those who are not familiar with backward SDEs what we are talking about. So we want to solve this stochastic differential equation, but instead of setting the initial condition, now we set the final condition to be y1 equals xi for some f1 random variable xi. And we want an elliptic solution, so we cannot just make it by returning the direction of time. We really have to do something. Now, how to understand this? If h equals 0, then this is just the Martingale representation theorem, right? This is just the Martingale representation theorem. And when h is not 0, you can prove by an easy fixed point argument, which was introduced by Partout and Pank in 1992. Linear version of this backward SDE appeared in previous work on stochastic Pontryagin maximum principle by Bismuth. There are many extensions I'm not going to talk about. Other extensions can be to the obstacle case, which would correspond to American options in finance. Quadratic in Z is very important, and there are still many open problems there. Multidimensional case, we saw this morning Gordon's talk talking about the importance of the multidimensional case in equilibrium. So, and multidimensional with quadratic, I was very curious this morning, so I really look forward to the paper, because this is really an open problem. Connection with PDEs. Connection with PDEs, well, it's very easy again. It is based on further result. If we assume further that HT of YZ, this nonlinearity, there is an omega hidden there. This is why I'm using the subscript T. If we assume that this random nonlinearity is the deterministic function of T, XT of omega YZ, so omega is summarized in this XT, where XT solves the stochastic differential equation, and the final data also is a function of G of X1, then it can be proved that the solution YT is a deterministic function of T and XT for some deterministic measurable function V, and then you can see that this function V must satisfy this semilinear PDE. To see it, for example, you can just assume V is smooth, then by Itô's formula, you get dVt on this side, and you identify the dt and the dw terms. If you identify the dw terms, you would get zt related to the gradient of V, and then the dt terms, you have the generator equals the nonlinearity, and Z is identified to sigma dV. So that's very natural. Backward SDE appeared in many, many problems in finance, and the development was accompanied by financial applications. There is a very nice overview paper by Nicole Elkaoui-Penkenez in Mathematical Finance, a long paper, but which is self-contained in the sense that all the proofs of existence, etc., are there. And there are many problems from finance in that paper. So for those of you who want to be familiar with this notion, I recommend this paper. So if H equals zero, of course this is the hedging problem. Then if you take the problem of optimal hedging or investment with different borrowing and lending rates, then you have a nonlinear H here. Recursive utility, this is I think in the paper of math finance. Risk measures, these are more recent applications, dynamic risk measures. Portfolio optimization, of course, portfolio optimization by nature should not be in this type of examples, because as we have seen, the PDEs which correspond to this problem are semi-linear. They are only non-linear in terms of DV and V, but the D2V term is linear. But optimal portfolio problems, they are fully non-linear, because this is the HEB equation, fully non-linear. So it is really a miracle that portfolio optimization problems can fit in this slide. And this is very related to the exponential form of the utility or the power. This also only holds for exponential or power utility functions because of a special structure, and there is a change of variable in the PDE which make it possible. Okay, so let me now move on to the second order backward SDEs. I would like to review what we have done. We have introduced this extension in a paper from now on, and basically we want to upload this idea. We want to add this gamma in the nonlinearity, so which we hope would correspond to the second derivative, and this is Stratonovich, and you can move from Stratonovich to Ito because we are assuming that Z is a semi-martingale here. We will see. I will be more precise on that. So gamma is exactly as we wanted, corresponds to the covariation of Z, which corresponds to the portfolio and the underlying Brownian motion, and we have a final data. So question, can we make sense out of this equation? Can we have existence uniqueness, etc.? So, as I said, if in the deterministic case, in the Markov case, if the nonlinearity, the omega in the nonlinearity is only embedded in some Markov process defined by a stochastic differential equation, here I'm using just Brownian motion, then what we expect is that yt would be, we expect and we want yt to identify to a deterministic function of t and x and wt, and it would solve this fully nonlinear PDE, and we would have connection with fully nonlinear PDE, which is more general than semi-linear PDE. This is what we had in the paper with Patrick. Existence, we don't really have an existence result. We just say that if the PDE has a smooth solution, then this is just Ito's formula tells you that existence is what you expect. Y is V, Z is DV, and gamma is D2V, then this is just Ito's formula. So the main result in that paper was uniqueness, and the interesting part of the uniqueness is that the proof involves intuitions from finance. So we formed the super hedging problem, the sub hedging problem, and we show that this is a super solution of some equation, this is a super sub solution of the same equation, and then if the PDE has uniqueness in the viscosity sense, then we are done with uniqueness. So this was done with Patrick, Mete, and Nicolas, and the main point there is to find this class Z, an appropriate class Z, in which this result will hold true, because we solve because of the result of Bank and Bohm, you really have to be very careful about this class. And the appropriate class is contained in this slide. Well, it's pretty involved, but we really needed to go to all these details to get this result. And one can wonder if these constraints on the strategies are needed, because now we are not talking anymore about super hedging, we're talking about exactly hedging. Maybe there is no epsilon there, but in fact we can create examples even in the linear case. So you take the H of before, you just take it to be linear in gamma, even in this case, unless C equal 1/2, because if C equal 1/2, this becomes an E to integral, and then uniqueness holds. But whenever C is different from 1, then you can prove that there is non-zero L2 solution. By L2 solution, I mean Z in L2 and gamma in L2, everything in L2. So there cannot be a nice theory in L2 for this problem, in L2 of P. Okay. Now, I want to show you a new point of view, which allows to have a simpler formulation. It's not exactly the same problem, but as you will see, it will have a simpler formulation. So, alternative formulation of this TBSD, two BSDs. So now I want to work on the canonical process. I work on the canonical process with capital T is 1, B is a coordinate process, and P0 is a Wiener measure. FT is a field canonical filtration, and I call local martingale measure, well, this is very familiar for in the finance workshop, of course. So local martingale measure is exactly what we know is I want the coordinate process to be a local martingale under P. So I look at all the family of all P's under which B is a local martingale. There is a result by Karandikar which says that I can define this stochastic integral omega-wise. Integral of BS dBS can be defined for every T and omega. And because of that, I can define the quadratic variation of B omega-wise. I need that because now I'm working under singular measures. Zero measure sets are very, very important here. So once I have this, I can define by definition a hat T lim sup of the derivative of the quadratic variation. And everything here is defined omega-wise. And I will call P bar W, W like quick, P bar W, the set of all local martingale measures P, such that this quadratic variation process is absolutely continuous in T, and such that this A hat takes strictly positive values. This I call P bar W. So now I'm going to define a subset of P bar W because we can create many elements in P bar W, and this subset I'm going to call it P bar S, S like strong, and this is the usual vocabulary from stochastic control. So in stochastic control, for strong formulation, you would take a control alpha, which has appropriate integrability, so that you can define this controlled process, xt alpha, and from this xt alpha now, under p0, this is a local martingale. And therefore, I can define p alpha as the measure induced by x alpha. If I call this p alpha, then these p alpha are all in my p bar w set. But these correspond to the strong formulation of stochastic control problems. And the result here is that all measures in this p bar s satisfy the Blumenthal 01 law and the martingale representation property, which will play an important role. Okay, now let's go back to the nonlinearity. This is my notation from before, H. This is the nonlinearity that I want in my second order BSDE. And I'm emphasizing that everything can be, this is not necessarily Markov, there is an omega there. HT of omega YZ, there is a domain in terms of gamma. Domain is important. Remember, in the case of gamma constraints, the domain would be gamma lower bar, gamma upper bar. So this process H would be plus infinity outside this interval, gamma lower bar, gamma upper bar. So there is a domain DH there, which contains zero, and we make some assumptions on this H, some general assumption. Maybe the most important assumption is this one. H is uniformly continuous in omega. We need it in this version of the paper, but this is not an important assumption. This is just for the moment to have something simple. Once we have this nonlinearity, something which you will see in a minute why is it important, we need to go to the convex conjugate of H. Not exactly the convex conjugate of H because it's 1/2, almost. Okay? So this S here is you take the convex conjugate of H up to the 1/2 and where you restrict the gamma to the domain of H. And then when you evaluate this convex conjugate at the density of the quadratic variation, A hat T is the density of the quadratic variation, then this is what I call F hat T of YZ. And F hat 0 when all the arguments are 0. Now this set P bar S is too large. I'm going to move to a smaller set, PH. So PH, the difference between P bar S and PH is that, well, there is some bound which depends on the measure P. This is not very important, but this is the important place where you have to look. What does this mean? This means that I have to take the measures P so that the density of the quadratic variation under this measure should lie essentially in the domain of the conjugate, in the domain of the conjugate. So I have to lie in the domain of the conjugate. So if you think about I have a slide, I think, on the benchmarking template, will come back later. So this is just a question of domain. So this will restrict if the domain of the conjugate function is convex function, so it can take value plus infinity. So this says that I don't take those p's so that the quadratic variation, density of the quadratic variation, would be plus infinity, would be outside the domain of f hat. This is the class PH. And following Denis and Martini, who introduced the stochastic calculus in this sense, I will say that a notion or property holds PH quasi-surely if and only if it holds P almost surely for every P in PH. Okay, some intuition. Before I give my definition of second-order BSDEs, let's go back to finance and intuition from finance. From finance, I want to formulate this hedging problem. Find the minimal initial capital so that I can hedge payoff C under all measures. This is a new point of view now. Instead of working P almost truly and working on the curly Z that I called curly Z before, now I want this constraint to hold PH quasi-surely, so on a much bigger support. Instead of requiring this inequality on the support of P, now I want it to hold on the support of this infinite number of singular measures. So I'm making this constraint much harder, and the price for that is that now I have a nicer space, easier space. So SM squared, this is square integrable semi-Martin gauge under P, and you take intersection over there. So this is the natural first problem that I want to formulate, where the notations were explained before. So now from here, a natural thing to do, which is related to this result of Bank and Bohm, is to forget that gamma corresponds to the quadratic variation of Z. So let me call it relaxation 1. That's relaxation 1. In relaxation 1, I go back to Ito here. There is no circle anymore. If I go back from Satonovic to Ito, I have the 1/2 here, and this minus here. And now I want to forget that gamma bar and z bar are related by some covariance relation, type of relation. And I call v bar my new problem. Of course, in here I'm relaxing some constraints, so v bar is greater than v in principle. This is trivial. V bar is greater than v. Now the second relaxation is, now in here you want to hedge C, and controls are z bar, g bar, but g bar should be gamma bar, I'm sorry. But gamma bar only shows up in the drift. So, of course, you have to maximize the drift. And by maximizing the drift, you see the Fenchel dual, which appears naturally. This is where the Fenchel dual appears. Okay? So you maximize the drift, and this is my second relaxation. Second relaxation, just replace this expression by the sup over all gamma. That's my F. That's my F hat, because there is an A hat here. That's my F hat. So this is second relaxation, and again, this is much faster than this one, which is a soup. So I have an inequality, which is trivial, and the other inequality is about a maximizer of this F hat to get this one. So this equality is very easy to have, and in general we only have this equality. We can have equality here, but we have to restrict the class PH and put some conditions on that. I don't want to elaborate on that. So let's keep this picture, and now I am going to use this level of relaxation to define two BSDs, solution of two BSDs. So I am given some final data xt, and I want to solve this equation. F hat t of yt zt plus zt dbt minus dkt equals, and y capital T equals xt. And definition, I will call a solution of this two BSDE, a process, a couple yz such that y capital T equals xt, pH almost surely, so under any measure p, and also what I want is, if I deduce the process k from this dynamics, just integrate, you get ktp equals what you get by integration. I want this process kt, which depends on p, I want it to be non-decreasing. This process k depends on p because this stochastic integral now is defined p almost truly. Z is universal, z is a process which is defined under all these p's, but the stochastic integral, I don't know whether this is defined under all p's. So this is why this process a priori should be dependent on P. So what I require for the solution is that this KP must have non-decreasing path. And finally, an important condition, the minimality condition. Minimality condition of this process P is that KTP must satisfy this minimality condition essential infimum over all P prime for every T of PHTP. PHTP, I didn't write the definition. This is just the same set PH, but with time origin at time T, which coincides with P up to time T. So we must have this minimality condition. Okay. It is something which appears in stochastic control. I will go back to this later. But this notion of solution looks weird now. Is it really a generalization of the first order of standard BSDs? The answer is yes, because for standard BSDs, this is what we want to solve. Now our generator doesn't depend on gamma. There is no gamma dependence. And for standard BSDs, there is no circle here. This is an E2 integral. So if you want to put a circle, as in my definition, you have to put the E2 correction. This is -1/2identity trace of identity gamma. This is my notation for trace. So this is my HT now. It's linear in gamma. And of course, if you do the dual of that, then you get something which is infinity everywhere except exactly at the identity. That's functional duality. And therefore, the domain now, let's go back to the domain. The domain of the dual is just one point. And therefore, the set of measures, my pH, it should be pH, I'm sorry, is just the singleton P0, KP0. Now, I only have one measure in my set in this case. I only have one measure in this case. So now, in here, this essential infimum, just the inf over one measure. So this means that my increasing process should be flat. And flat starts from 0, so my increasing process should be 0, and we recover the old notion. We recover the standard notion of BSDs. So this is really an extension of the old notion, and the benchmark example is when you take this nonlinearity, which was studied by Peng, G expectation, but which we do know in uncertain volatility models. If you take this nonlinearity, so just G is given by two lines, then we can, if we assume that this PDE has a smooth solution, then we can verify easily that yt equals u of tbt, zt equals du of tbt is a solution of the 2BSD with this increasing process, because g is the sup over all a's of this. This is just Ito's formula, but the remarkable thing is if we have the smooth solution of the PDE, then everything here can be defined for every t, for every omega. There is no almost surety there. Okay, so let me now state, I'm sorry, I'm going on my time, so let me state the results. There are some spaces and norms that I have to introduce. So basically we have to take usual LP norms, but now we have many measures. So we have to take the sup over all these measures of LP norms. Similar thing for processes, you just define similar things. But here what happens is that this would be the integrand in integral of ZdB. So there the quadratic variation shows up. So we need the A hat in the norm, in there. And we also define similar spaces for CAD-like processes by taking the sup over time. Natural norms for CAD-like processes. And this is now maybe the less natural than the others, this new norm. In here, what we do the following. If you give me XC, then I build this essential supremum, which depends on the underlying measure, over all measures P prime which agree with P up to time T, E P prime of C given F T. Now this thing here is dependent on P. I don't know if I can aggregate this into a universal process. And the norm is take this E H P T random variable, sup over T, and then expected value and sup over P H. If I had one measure, only one measure here, if this was just a singleton, then I would have a martingale and do maximal inequality, would just say that this norm is equivalent to this norm. But here it's a little bit different and we cannot prove that they are equivalent. And the space where I will prove my main result is this L hat square, closure of UCB. Okay, so I will finish. Just state the results. So we have one more condition, Lipschitz type of condition in terms of z, but with this quadratic variation, we need again this quadratic variation. And then let me just read the corollary. Under this condition, this 2BSDE has at most one solution in D2H, and comparison holds true. Comparison in the sense that if the either generator or the terminal data are greater, then all the solution is above it. To have existence, we need to have estimates in the sense of these norms. So we do have these estimates. And the result is that if I take a random variable in the closure of uniformly continuous random variables with respect to this norm that I introduced before, then I can prove that there is existence of solution and uniqueness because of the previous theorems. Okay. Let me just show one more slide. This is more directed to Nicole because she keeps asking me questions. Connection with PDEs. I was talking about fully nonlinear PDEs from the beginning. And in here, we can prove that under natural condition, the solution of the 2BSDE is a deterministic function of T and BT. And this function U satisfies this PDE where there is an H hat, not H, because I'm taking the sup over positive case. And then this is the smallest increasing function of the second derivative, which is above H. This is natural in PDE point of view because this is related to parabolicity. So that's the connection with PDE. So we get the expected fully nonlinear PDE. And let me go back to the benchmark case with the uncertain volatility model with this capital G function of GKBank. In the benchmark case, we know very well that, well, under this form, it is Denis and Martini who showed it. This is the hedging problem, PH quasi-Schulle. Hedging G of B capital T, PH quasi-Schulle, where, again, the P's are diffusions between two bounds, A lower bar and A upper bar, which define the G here. It is very classically stochastic control to study this family of problems. Introduce essential supremum under any measure P of condition expectations. Here it's just condition expectations because generator is just this function G. The problem here is that, well, it is also, these results are classical and we saw them on Monday in Nicole's talk and in Talia's talk. For every P, this process is a P super martingale, and then if you can find a measure P star under which this process is a martingale, then P star is optimal. However, the difference with our framework is that we need this family of YP to aggregate it into one universal process, in the sense that I need to construct a process Y such that Y equals YP almost truly for P almost truly for every P. So this is the main difficulty, and this is the main difference with stochastic control. Okay, and this is why we have to do all these things. Okay, thank you very much. Sorry for overpassing my time.